Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi Year 2013 third quarter consolidated results presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO of De'Longhi Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi conference call on quarter three 2013 results. As usual, I will briefly discuss the key highlights of the results, and then I will leave room for your questions and a Q&A session. I have here with me Fabrizio Micheli, Stefano Biella, and Marco Visconti to support. As a first general comment, quarter three was still characterized by a very tough market environment with a certain demand and a very intense competition. On top of that, exchange rates added further uncertainty to the overall picture, negatively affecting both sales and margins. In this difficult environment, the group has continued to pursue its strategy of strengthening its inherent positioning and leadership on the market. One of the pillars of the group strategy and commitment for this year is also the Braun integration, to which De'Longhi is devolving significant efforts, and the integration process is delivering good results with a sequential improvement quarter after quarter after a slow start. During the third quarter, the group has recorded positive sales growth of 6.6%, reaching 367 million in sales, bringing the year-to-date growth to 5% at 1,038 million. It is important to stress that at constant exchange rates, the nine-month growth would have been much higher, at almost 8%. This was primarily due to the significant devaluation of several export currencies, such as the Japanese yen, the Australian dollar, the South African rand, the ruble, affecting results. Best performing product category was still food preparation, led by Kenwood branded kitchen machines and Braun hand blenders. Coffee is slightly down during the period, mainly due to lower sales of Nespresso Lattissima Plus, which on the contrary, were very strong last year, enjoying the launch effect. While Dolce Gusto sales were positive, also thanks to the launch into new markets. By country, we had a good performance in Europe, with Italy, Germany, Benelux leading the pack in West Europe, and a generally positive East Europe environment, with the only exception of Russia. Strong contribution came also from Middle East, India, Africa region, while negative spot is APA, where Asia, Pacific, Americas area, where sales were down also due to a negative currency impact. Moving on to the margins, net industrial margin improved substantially over the 9 months from 469 million to 504 million euros, increasing also the percentage of revenues from 47.4% to 48.5%. Even in the third quarter, the net industrial margin was better than last year at 176 million versus euro 164 million, up by 30 basis points on revenues. This result was achieved thanks to a positive volume mix effect, which more than offset the pressures coming from the negative foreign exchange impact. Below the net industrial margin, the group recorded an increase in some cost items, mainly in relation with the growing integration. Namely, cost for services and non-industrial labor costs were higher in 2013 due to the strengthening of the group's commercial structures and the related higher fixed costs for the new Braun offices. As a consequence, EBITDA before non-recurring items is slightly down at euro 135 million versus 138 million a year earlier, from 14% to 13% as percentage of sales. In the third quarter, EBITDA before non-recurring items stands at 51 million from 56 million in 2012. After non-recurring items, EBITDA is higher than last year by 4.7 million euros, reaching 134 million. The results was due to one-off costs in September 2012 for the acquisition of Braun, amounting to euro 8.8 million. EBIT came at 103 million over the 9 months, down from 104, with margin down from 10.6% to 9.9% as a result of higher depreciation following the recent investments. Net income also was impacted by higher financial charges due to both the higher average net debt during the period related to the Braun acquisition and to slightly higher hedging costs. In the 9 months, net income stood at 57 million. Moving on the balance sheet, working capital was managed very effectively, decreasing from 20.5% of revenues in quarter three 2012 to 17.8% as of September 2013, thanks to a good control of the commercial working capital, as well as to the fuller contribution of the securitization program after its third renewal last year. Let me remind you that quarter three represents the peak in the annual working capital cycle, so we are on track with our targets for the year-end figures. Finally, the net debt position of the group improved since September 2012 by 61 million to 115 million. At the core of this positive development is a contribution of the operating cash flow, so that even after the payment of the second tranche of the Braun acquisition price to Procter & Gamble, worth 93 million euros over the 12 months, the bank debt increased by only euro 6 million. I need to mention that on top of the pure bank debt, we revised down the IFRS valuation of the Braun earn-out to about 33 million. For comparison purposes, past figures have been restated to be consistent with current figures. With this, the introduction is complete, and I will leave room for two questions. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Giorgio Iannella of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is about competition. You are reiterating that competition is getting tougher and tougher. I was wondering if you expect to report a materially lower or even slightly lower market share in your core businesses, I mean, coffee makers and kitchen appliances at the end of this year, at the end of next year. This is the first one. The second one is about the dynamic in coffee makers. We learned in H1 that there was a diverging trends between the sell-in and sell-out for coffee makers, with the sell-out still nicely growing, driven by still positive demand, while the destocking effect was impacting on the declining sell-in. So I was wondering if these two trends will catch up, let's say, each other in the course of the next year. And the third question is about the currency impact. If you can detail it in terms of the impact on gross profit and EBITDA for this year, I mean the 9 months and the full year. Thank you.
Okay, so about competition, well, definitely we're facing tougher competition. We don't expect market share to be down, neither in coffee nor in food preparation. We might have, say, special issues related to special markets, like single markets, as we named frequently in previous calls, maybe Australia and Russia. But all in all, we believe that our market share should be rather stable over the next months and probably also for the next year. The second question was about the coffee maker markets. I think that we have negative sales, and probably this is due not just to one item or one single cause. I think there is certainly some destocking effect at trade level in many markets. We see a price effect mainly with the new ranges from Nespresso, where we're selling more of the low end versus the high end Latissimas and the higher the mid price points of the former ranges. We see also the fact that we're losing the exclusivity in Australia. This is also affecting certainly sales. And we see weakness in some major markets, as we named often. Spain, for instance, is definitely not a brilliant market. Plus some specific issues like in affecting maybe the Longhi, as in Russia, where we had a reorganization in place, but where we are now confident to gain back a position in the next months. So this is a totality of items resulting in this. We are not too much concerned. We're still very bullish on coffee on the long run. And we are also confident that we can maintain and hopefully also further increase our position in terms of market share.
Okay,
in terms of currency impact, yes, the impact... the currency impact has been dramatic this year. I mean, we have seen major swings in many very important currencies for the group. Japanese yen is down, on spot about 25% year on year. We have Australian dollar also down about 10% year on year. We have also weak ruble, weak rand, and many other weak currencies. All this is resulting in a top line, say, negative contribution of approximately 30 million euros in the 9 months. On EBITDA, we don't have audited figures. We have never disclosed this, but we think that this year probably is important to give some indication, because we think that we are still a positive underlying profitability for the group, excluding foreign exchange impact. In the 9 months, approximately 30 million, and it could be that a negative impact on EBITDA, and could be at around 20 million on a yearly basis.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first is related to the revision in the earnout for Brown. I would like to understand if this is due to a revised expectation from the brand or if it is related to some changes in the accounting principles. Second question, you were mentioning in the press release expectation for another tough and negative market trend in 2014. So if you can elaborate a little bit more on the reason for your pessimistic view on next year. And third question related to 2013, are you still confident on the indication of high single-digit top line and EBITDA up year on year after 9 months or not?
On the earnout, we see improvement month by month in Brown sales. We were probably at a slow start in January and February and March, and progressively we have improved. We think that there is basically a time lag or a delay in being up to speed with our plan of 9 months. I would say that for the first time, the Longhi Brown sales will be above P&G Brown sales in the month of October. So October will be positive for Brown versus previous P&G for the first time. So I would say that while in the first 9 months, the Longhi was behind the P&G. The Longhi Brown sales were behind the P&G Brown sales in the previous year. So we have a delay of 9 months, and this is, let's say, in a cautious way, we have decided to revise down and incorporate, let's say, a one-year delay in the plan, resulting in this revision of the earnout. But we're still very positive on the longer and short-term perspective of growth in Brown for next year and the future.
And can you give us some color on the reason for this nine-month delay compared to your original expectations?
Well, the two major reasons is that we have decided to buy assets and not to buy heavy structures in sales. And the main reason is that our sales organization has to, let's say, learn and digest how to sell grown products, and it turned out to be a little bit slower process than originally thought, but we are happy now, we are up to in pace. And also another issue that Brown was very much affected by our reorganization in Russia. Russia is very important, Brown is very strong in Russia and has suffered very much because of the reorganization. Now the reorganization has been completed, and we are now back to the same normal. So in the end, we think we're positive on the outcome, and we are now again positive for the future.
Okay.
The second point is about trend for
2014. Yes.
For 14. Okay. Let's put it this way. We tend to be a positive and optimistic company. We have been growing also in the tough times, but frankly, we see that the markets are still very, very, very difficult. We don't see real reason to be too optimistic. Europe is tough, Italy is tough, Spain, although getting a bit better, is tough. Netherlands is not really doing too well. Emerging markets sometimes are difficult. So in the end, We think that we have good products. We are in long-term growth segments. There's a secular growth opportunity in coffee and food preparation, but the markets are still rather difficult. So as soon as the markets will give us more positive signs, we will immediately change our stand. But we think it's better to be a bit conservative rather than to be optimistic and be then disappointed by markets and results. in 2013, we had given a target previously for sales at high single-digit growth, and we acknowledge that probably after this quarter, we are a little bit behind in terms of growth and also in terms of EBITDA, but we still believe that the targets are achievable.
Even at the current rate, it is Forex, I mean, that is obviously.
Sure. Now we think, yes, at current conditions.
Okay.
We acknowledge that there is a more pressure on the quarter because where we are slightly behind in this third quarter, but we still think that is doable.
Okay. Also in terms of EBITDA. In
terms of EBITDA as well, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I got a follow-on question. One is on the Kenwood performance. It seems to me that maybe the Kenwood is doing better and better, and it's possible for you to elaborate what are the key drivers of this success. If maybe is correct a view that in kitchen appliances, maybe paradoxically, there is less competition than in coffee makers, relating to your market presence in the two segments. The second one is again on the net debt. If maybe I was underestimating the seasonality, but if I add up the fact that you had more factoring in this quarter, if it's possible also to have the number of this factoring for the two corresponding period, it seems you didn't generate as much cash as expected. Maybe if you can, and if you also, you mentioned that the working capital was actually good. So I'm trying to understand if maybe I haven't done the proper calculation or what else. And finally, if it's possible to have the Braun sales for the first 9 months. Thank you very much.
Okay, so about Kenwood, Kenwood has a strong product portfolio. I think that we have a strong leadership on kitchen machines, which are growing above market average. So in a growing market, Kenwood is outperforming competition because of its, let's say, mix, its product mix, its better product mix. We think that definitely there is no less competition in food preparation. Actually, I would say that we have more competition on food preparation. It is a more mature market. I would say that we face competition of Philips, Breville, Bosch, Moulinex, Magimix, KitchenAid. So in reality, probably we're facing more competitors in food preparation. It's just that food preparation is having today a better momentum than coffee. This is no surprise to us. We think that we always believe that food preparation is a strong growth driver for De'Longhi Group in the future. And we also continue to think that also coffee will go back to normal growth in the future. So let's say there's certainly no a fierce competition in or a less fierce competition in food preparation, the reason of the growth of our food preparation segment. Second, about the net debt, we think that it's probably better to have a slightly longer time frame to look at cash flows, as sometimes quarters may be impacted by seasonality or by some specific, situations. In this perspective, we are very happy with the cash generation we had, and in the last 12 months, we have generated more than €102 million, including about 15 million more of securitization. So let's say excluding securitization, we have generated about 86 million of cash, which is, we think, a very strong performance, much stronger than 1 year ago. So we think that the cash generation for the group is strong, solid, and is probably one of the best results in our set of results for the quarter. In terms of third question was about Braun. This is a non-audited number, which is from our managerial account, so cannot be exactly reconciled with the numbers, the consolidated numbers you will receive, but it's giving you a flair of what we are doing, and sales are approximately at €90 million for the 9 months.
Thank you. If I may, is it possible to have the amount of the securitization at the end of September 2013 and September 2012?
Yes. Hold on a second. Last year, September 2012, 65 million.
65?
65 and 80 million September 2013.
Okay, thank you very much.
But this year we have an increase of 50 million approximately.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Emmanuel De Figueiredo of LBV Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is on Russia. Can you give us some color on how the market is developing there, given your earlier setback, and when should we expect Russia to be back? That would be the first question. And the second question, just from the Q&A, it seems that you are confident to have a strong Q4 over the Christmas. Historically, it's obviously by far your most important quarter. And I was wondering if there's any particular product, given that coffee machines are a little bit weaker, is there any particular product you think can sell well over Christmas? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. About Russia, okay, Russia, we had some issues related to management change. We changed, our market leader in Russia. We also changed the sales organization, and also we have changed also, the commercial policy, and increased also pricing along the year. Altogether, okay, caused some disruptions of business. We are happy about our progression in September and October. And we think that by November we'll be back in track and at least aligned with last year's sales. In terms of fourth quarter, we are positive on the quarter. Okay, we acknowledge the markets are still difficult. We think that the drivers for our growth in the fourth quarter will continue to be food preparation, and we expect a bounce back of coffee in the fourth quarter.
And sorry, just to follow up. And why do you expect a bounce back on the coffee?
Because we got positive signs from key markets, and we have good forecasts from the markets, and we expect to be able to materialize this forecast into actual sales for the quarter.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
I have a follow-up on the coffee trend in Q3. So just a clarification, if I understood properly, you were mentioning that the decline was both related to volumes and related to price mix. So a mix of the three components, basically. Is it correct?
Yes, it's correct. And particularly, I would say, while price mix is particularly due to capsules, it's a single server coffee makers had a negative mix and price, where we sold more Dolce Gusto versus Nespresso,
mm-hmm.
and within Nespresso we sold more of, let's say, the new models, which were very entry price point, which were launched this year, and less of the mid price point and Latissimas, which were sold last year.
Mm-hmm.
While on Fully Autos, I would say that it was more like some retailers did less promotional activities and we were affected, particularly in the first part of the year, but not really a negative mix.
And in the Fully Autos, did you have any price pressures, or should we expect that prices were basically stable?
So far this year we have increased our average price points slightly. Some competitors are very aggressive in price, but we see that we are able, under let's say the current price policy, pricing policy, we are able to maintain our market shares, and so we are we think we should be able to to maintain this.
So you confirmed, you said you kept the prices unchanged, basically.
Yeah.
Boring. Okay. And the second question was related to the Forex impact. You were mentioning this 20 million for this year. Should we assume that you have also some carryover on 2014 if the rates remain at the current level, so assuming stable currencies?
Yes, we're gonna have some carryover, not dramatic. I think we have really the most of the impact will happen in 2013. So just a small carryover for next year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Andrea Bonfà of Bancaletti. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you again. Is it possible to have an update on your hedging policy and the hedging state of the art, in particular on the US dollar? And second thing, I would like to know, but it's basically an interpretation of what you said before. In order to offset the Forex impact of this year, you had increased prices. Is that possible to have the more or less the precise amount of price increases in the nine months? And the third is another clarification. The 20 million Forex mentioned before is at EBITDA level, I presume, because at at sales level it was almost 29 million, if I'm correct. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, yes. Okay, for let's do this. The hedging question will be taken by Fabrizio Micheli. And on the Forex, yes, I confirm you that I have indicated that we are already an impact of approximately 13 million in the first 9 months, and we can have probably an impact around, say, 20 million for the full year at EBITDA level.
As regards hedging activity for the current year, we did not increase substantially the hedging position that we had a half year, in the sense that a major part of the hedging transactions that were put in place for this year were done in the first 6 months, specifically in the first quarter. So the situation today is, I would say, set and stabilized, in the sense that what we had to hedge, we did. And some of the currencies, let's say, at stake, I mean, impacting on the on these year accounts, namely Japanese yen and Australian dollar, were partially hedged at the beginning of the year and before the big devaluation, but not, of course, not completely. So we had some residual impact on the accounts. But the recent trend in these currencies is not adding additional risk. So we have no reason for the time being to increase the hedging for the current year. Of course, we had a strategy in place for the next year, but it is not disclosed yet.
And if I may, on the US dollar, is the 2014 hedge, or was it in that particular position, which I presume is your largest net exposure, maybe?
We did not, and we don't disclose the figure of hedging for the next year. Of course, the dollar is still a critical currency, so of course our hedging strategy is particularly focused on this currency, and we are actively, as always, we are actively let's say operating on hedging the dollar, but we cannot disclose what we have done for the next year yet.
And finally, on prices on the top line, is it possible to know how much you increase prices this year, if any?
Yeah, I mean, this we have passed on to the market price increase at the beginning of the year. It may vary from market to market, so it's really related to single markets and single circumstances.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Just two questions from my side. I apologize as I joined the conference call later, so maybe they have been already answered. But anyway, the first one is on your cost base. If you see any savings going forward due to the lowering metal prices in the next quarter or maybe in 2014. And the second one relates to the Australia. If you can give us an idea of the competitive arena and how it is developing in the coming months, according to you. Thanks.
Okay. On the cost base, we expect some positive. Say some positive news on the cost side. But again, it's not going to be a major help. So we are more, let's say, maybe slight improvement. So you don't have to expect much in terms of positive contribution in the next quarter and also probably for next year. In terms of Australia. Australia, first of all, we think we have a very strong position in Australia. So really De'Longhi as a group has a very strong presence in most of the segments where we compete. Unfortunately, we are suffering, and let's say the difficulties are coming from exchange rates on one side. About we have a 10% decline due to pure exchange rate impact for Australia. Plus, we are affected by negative sales in coffee due to the fact that Nespresso has engaged a second partner in Australia, Breville. And also, on top of that, sales of Nespresso this year are somewhat weaker than expected and weaker also versus 1 year ago.
Third is also Kenwood has lost a little bit of market share, but is, let's say, normal, let's say, competition. We are not to worry about that. And next year we will react with new launches for both Kenwood and also more focus for De'Longhi on fully auto in order to go back to growth as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. There is another follow-up from Andrea Bonfà, Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry again. Is that possible to have an update on the launch of Kenwood in the in US? And as far as 2014 is concerned, is that possible for you to elaborate if there are new markets in which you are entering, or let's say important new products that, or new models that you are launching into next year? Thank you.
Okay, about US is a bit premature, because the brand has been launched at the beginning of the year, actually the first part of the year, and this is really the first fall for Kenwood. We will see the results, probably we can discuss about some results on USA maybe at the beginning of next year. What I would like to say is that we have a slow penetration strategy in Kenwood will be a high-end brand with a slow penetration strategy. So we're focusing more in the high-end channel of distribution. Just to mention, main customers would be Bloomingdale's, the department stores, sur la table. We're happy with what is happening, but it's going to be a slow process. So you don't have to expect a fast growth. What is positive on United States is the success of Latissima. Latissima is very successful, is in line with, if not better than original expectations, and we hope that this trend will continue also in the third quarter. And so we're happy because can be considered the first breakthrough, small breakthrough success in espresso in North America for De'Longhi, and considering the fact that America is a high potential in the long run, and Nespresso is our core category, our definitely focused category, I think this is a good early sign for De'Longhi in North America. New products for next year is a bit premature to talk about new products, but we will have two new fully automatic coffee machines. We're going to have a new Nespresso machine to be launched in the first half. We will launch a new kitchen machine and a new food processor. And also with Braun, we will launch some new food preparation products and a new line of plastic kitchen appliances for the mid price point. And I think that in this perspective, next year we have a strong pipeline where we will have launches in all the most important product segments and product categories, coffee, fully auto, Nespresso, and obviously also Braun.
Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up of Emanuele De Figueiredo of LBV Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, it's just on the last question. You mentioned that you're going to have one new kitchen machine. Has this anything to do with the Votortech Bimby style machine? I believe Moulinex is pushing hard in that segment. Do you have any strategy there, or is this completely unrelated? Thank you.
Well, I let's say we are open to anticipate launches, but we don't want to disclose too much about the actual figures and features and details about the new launches, and will be disclosed as soon as the product will be, let's say, ready to go into the market.
Okay.
Excuse me, there is a new question registered from Bertrand Fauré of Pascal. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just one quick question. It's actually on the P&L and the way you report the P&L. In the past, you had a split with the where you isolated the provisions as part of the P&L, and it's no longer the case in this report. Would this be possible for you to give us the split of the cost of goods sold for services and the provisions, please?
No, we don't have a split here. Yeah, we're going to give you at year end, you will see the split and the details.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. De Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.